Hey, everybody. Dan, the Charlie Kirk Show. Michael Seifert from Public Square. Download the Public Square app, your navigational tool for the Patriot economy, joins us. Ben Weingarten to talk about the infiltration of our country from Islamists. And finally, we talk about the speaker's race. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Email me, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and click on the charliekirk.com page and click on the members tab. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. The Starbucks union, so that is the Starbucks workers, have come out and they say they stand in solidarity in regards to the attacks on Israel. The Starbucks workers union voices support for Hamas after 1,300 Jews were brutally massacred. Joining us now is Michael Seifert from Public Square. We have Michael on a lot. We're honored to partner with him. Michael, welcome to the program. I'm sure there are plenty of coffee companies that you could remind our audience about on publicsq.com and the Public Square app. Michael, share a little bit about that and the broader vision, because again, we see this pattern. Anytime that there is something disgusting, ugly, evil, vile, corporate America works in harmony with the most radical centers, not all of them, but this one in particular, 9,000 Starbucks baristas expressed, quote, solidarity with Hamas. Michael, your reaction and tell us about alternatives.
Well, obviously, this is disheartening to hear. I also think it's kind of ironic because many of those baristas with the purple hair would be thrown off buildings if they were actually in Gaza.
This whole
progressives for Palestine thing is so absurd on its face. But the reality is they believe they're in some epic religious battle against oppression. That's what these Starbucks union baristas believe. And it's so far from the truth. But the problem is when they have backing from major organizations like the Union of Starbucks, when these ideas are actually given oxygen to grow their fire by real corporate or organizational backers, we have a real problem on our hands. What they're actually saying is that they stand with terrorism. 9,000 baristas in the United States. So I think it's an important reminder for consumers to realize that you have power in your dollars. What you spend your money on is what you empower. And what I can tell you confidently is that we have thousands of coffee companies on the Public Square platform, none of whom support legitimate terrorists. None of them. In fact, they support the very opposite. They support the American economy and the values that have made this country so special.
Yes.
Like life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So that's what you can find at Public Square. As an alternative.
Yeah,
everyone,
take out your phone right now, okay, and download the Public Square app, okay? Download the Public Square app right now, and you could be able to navigate the parallel and patriot economy. Michael, you guys have been through a roller coaster the last couple of days, and you are experiencing kind of corporate warfare, I guess you could say, Wall Street at its worst. You guys are building the parallel economy. You're doing a great job. You got millions and millions of people that are finally able to navigate this economy. Again, everyone download the Public Square app. But you're dealing with kind of a short seller issue, aren't you? Now, based this morning, looks like they're finally having to cover these, you know, not exactly. I'm not a huge fan of short selling. I think it's actually rather scummy. Anyway, that's a separate issue. But Michael, tell us what's going on with Public Square, because you guys are getting it from every direction.
Well, yes, the positive news is thankfully today we're up 30% because these short sellers with bad intentions are getting exposed. And we have, honestly, Charlie, we knew what we were up against. When we went public, we knew that we'd be jumping into the lion's den. And ultimately, we knew that our message would, of course, ruffle feathers on Wall Street. But those feathers need ruffling. This world on Wall Street is so, honestly, it's a spiritual battle. There's no other way to say it. At times it's demonic. The darkness that you find on Wall Street is appalling, but the light we're trying to bring to that environment and the message we're trying to bring to that environment, we ultimately believe will prevail. What we learned this week is that we have a network of short sellers that are fighting hard against the growth and the strength of the public square platform. And they're doing it on falsehoods, lying blatantly, trying to go out and spread messages like we're out of cash or we're raising money. And we are now needing to cover ourselves that our management has sold, that I have sold, when the reality is, and we put this out in a legal statement this morning, none of our management has sold. None of our leadership has sold. None of our executives have sold. We don't need cash. In fact, our balance sheet is strong and we don't need to go raise money from these people that would try to suck us dry on Wall Street. Instead, the parallel economy is not only sustainable, it's strong. Our revenue, for example, grew 300% just in the last quarter. So, Charlie, it's an exciting time in the parallel economy because while the arrows are flying at us, the truth ultimately prevails. And the truth is this: a network of consumers that is larger than any other emerging market the world has seen in modern history has finally said, we're done. We're done with woke capital. We're done with progressive corporatism. We're done with selling our souls to countries that hate us. And instead, we're going to prioritize American enterprise, businesses that make our communities strong. And thankfully, not only is that a liberating movement, it's also a lucrative one. So we're pleased to push back on behalf of We the People, and we are just getting started.
And you can look at the values of Public Square at publicsq.com. United in the commitment to freedom and truth, always protecting the family unit, believing in the greatness of this nation, and will always fight to defend it. What I love about Public Square is anytime there's any one of these corporate controversies, I text Michael. Michael, do we have a safe? Because Liberty Safe is all off the wall. We have Michael come on, right? Coffee and all this. And it's creating the directory, creating the navigational tool where we are able to understand what businesses to support and what not to support. By the way, we're getting tons of emails right now, Michael. People are shocked about the Starbucks thing. I want to make it very clear. It's not Starbucks corporate. Their founder is Jewish. It's the workers, okay? 9,000 Starbucks baristas. It is their union, okay? It is the Starbucks workers union that is saying, we are pro-Hamas. Hamas is wonderful. All these sorts of different things. And Michael, it seems as if without Public Square, we would be kind of lost in the wilderness of what companies to support. But you guys are also, you have Every Life, right? Getting owned and operated business. Talk more about those things, what you can share, how you're also creating owned and operated businesses, products that the patriots of America can support.
Well, that's exactly right. What we learned as we embarked upon this journey is that there are tens of thousands of incredible conservative-run businesses in this parallel economy for nearly every industry niche you can imagine. But there are still a few holes in the market where there's actually a need for a values-aligned competitor to jump into the mix and to solve those problems for consumers. So, for example, we learned that every single major diaper company in the United States today is vocally or financially pro-abortion. In fact, diaper companies like Coterie, which is one of the nicest diapers money can buy on the market today, Coterie last year, after the overturning of Roe v. Wade, came out and said, and I quote, "Our team feels lost without abortion access." Honest company, Hello Bello, donating to their employees' abortions. So what did we do? We said, well, gosh, we need a pro-life diaper company that celebrates the family unit and protects the miracle of every innocent life. Diaper company. So we did, and we launched Every Life. You can find it at everylife.com. We also recently discovered, for example, that small businesses need a management tool, a CRM, to handle their business operations because Salesforce has called itself the most anti-conservative company in the country. Mark Benioff is insane. And in turn, small businesses don't really have a place to go where they can feel cancel-proof. On top of that, many of those large enterprise softwares are not built for small businesses. Well, we have over 70,000 small businesses, so we thought, why don't we launch a management tool? So actually, this month, Charlie, we're launching PSQ Link, which is a business software management tool that will never cancel you and will be proud to support your growth. So you can go to psqlink.com to discover more.
So that's CRM.
It is.
I hope everyone understands. Mark Benioff is a Stalinist. That guy is a bad dude. He is a ideological revolutionary. He's the Salesforce guy. And he cancels people. He just cancels people. CRM, this is a huge thing. If we do not have a good CRM in the Patriot economy, you're not able to have customer management. You're not able to, I mean, Salesforce, for all their ridiculous, it's a good product. It is. It's a legit thing. But they use the brilliancy, the excellence, and how seamless their product is against us to hold us hostage.
Well, I'll just say that while they are an excellent product, one of the challenges that people have with Salesforce is that they really don't care about you if you're a small business. If you have less than 25 employees, you're not getting any special attention from Salesforce or Mark Benioff. And so this is another example of an ideologically misaligned company, because Mark has literally funded lawsuits against President Trump. I mean, this guy is, as you described, a Stalinist. Not only that, though, they've completely written off America's small business community. And I think PublicSquare has an opportunity to be not only a patriotic economy, but also one that protects the small business and the middle class. We have that exposure that nobody else does. And so we're proud to bring a tool like PSQ Link to the mix. So stay tuned for that. You can go to psqlink.com to learn more.
Hey, everybody. Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop at the pillow. Mike Lindell has created the Giza Dream Bed Sheets. These sheets look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep, which is crucial for your overall health. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Mike's latest incredible deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you'll receive 50% off the Giza Dream Sheets, marking prices down as low as $29.98, depending on the size. Go to MyPillow.com. Promo code Kirk. That is MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk, including the MyPillow 2.0 mattress topper, MyPillow kitchen towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-875-0425 or go to MyPillow.com, use promo code Kirk, MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. So, Michael, some people are saying, Charlie, I'm a business owner. How do we join? By the way, a CRM is a customer resource management. Is that what it stands for, right? CRM, customer resource management, right? Just so if you're a small business owner, it's really important that you guys have a alternative there. But also talk about the, if you are a business owner, why you should actively join PublicSquare, Michael, right? Because we have a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of business owners here, and not just business owners. If you are, you know, an affiliate, a wealth manager, or a realtor, talk about that too, because there's a lot of sole proprietors that are part of a larger company that, for example, if I'm going to go, you know, redo the tile, you know, in my home, or if I'm going to, whatever, get my car fixed, I'm going to go to a sole proprietor or a realtor or an accountant or a certified finance broker that is a patriot. Tell us about that, Michael.
Well, you nailed it. Those industries, especially, Charlie, are where trust is required.
Yes.
To the umpteenth degree. If I'm going to let a plumber into my house, if I'm going to let an electrician, a contractor, a financial advisor who I'm entrusting my financial future with and my kid's college fund or whatever it might be, if I'm going to partner with those folks, I want to make sure that their values aligned. Actually, Charlie, a real life story from our own life. Last week, my family and I moved to West Palm Beach, Florida. We were just getting settled and we moved the company there this summer. Very exciting times for PublicSquare, being in the free state of Florida. We needed a pediatrician. My wife and I are very picky, obviously, about the health of our daughter. And we also prefer natural medicine. We prefer a licensed MD that will prioritize preventative medicine. And so we needed sort of a niche solution. We go to the PublicSquare platform. We search pediatrician. Turns out there's one 5 miles down the road. She ends up doing a house call and she's our child's new pediatrician. We feel confident and comfortable because we can trust our values are aligned. If you are a business owner that is selling online and retail, coffee, services like plumbing, electrician, realty, etc., you're going to find a home at PublicSquare. And you asked in a question, Charlie, you asked why. Why is it worth it? Why would you join? The short answer is, if you look at election data from 2020 and you look at the voters for Trump, the ones that they're at least willing to admit, if you look at that data, you'll find $7 trillion of GDP voted for Donald Trump in 2020. $7 trillion. That's the third largest economy in the world by GDP, larger than India, larger than Japan, larger than Germany, and no one is talking to them. If you're a business owner and you want an incredible lucrative opportunity, not just a liberating one, you absolutely should put your products and service out to the parallel economy. People need to know that you exist because they're looking for trustworthy transactions and they're looking to put purpose behind their purchases. So not only will it feel freeing to feel like you can actually operate with your values without fear of cancellation, but you also have an opportunity for a lucrative endeavor to reach the largest TAM that we've seen in modern history. That's why you should join the parallel economy as a small business owner.
In closing here, Michael, we talked about last hour how Jewish donors are divesting all their money, not all their money, from colleges, that we have to stop funding anything that hates us. And some of our audience said, well, that doesn't apply to me. I said, hold on, time out. Where do you buy your groceries from? And then, like you said, there's also these one-off transactions that are maybe a once in a 5-year transaction. Home, car, nice vacations, the big ones, right? Those especially need to be in alignment with your values. If 30 million patriots, okay, and let's just be even more conservative, 10 million patriots, I know there's 10 million of us out there, say no more. We're going to use a navigational tool and make sure that we are in harmony with all of our purchasing. What would that mean for the country? What would that mean for the fight for liberty? Closing thoughts and download the Public Square, Michael Seifert.
Well, Charlie, it would mean that the entire profit center of the United States shifts. It shifts toward we the people. In fact, we've done a lot of internal data sourcing, looking at modeling what would it look like for that sort of change to happen? At what point do politicians really start to act differently because of consumer purchasing power? And we've discovered that between 8 to 12 million patriots fundamentally shifting at least one purchase a day, that one change radically impacts the way that our country incentivizes certain behaviors. The reality is for far too long, lobbyists have profited. Other countries have profited. We talked in the last segment about Mark Benioff. Mark Benioff, the CEO of Salesforce, famously in 2015, moved his business, pulled business out of Indiana because Indiana supported a religious liberty law. Meanwhile, he's proud to do business with the Communist Party of China. For far too long, those types of people have profited. If we can build a network of patriots that will shift the purchasing power back toward the right types of small businesses that love the country, the Constitution, and the values that that document protects, the country fundamentally changes for the better. You don't have to just vote every 2 and 4 years. You can vote every single day. And we at Public Square want to help you do that.
Michael Seifert from Public Square, publicsq.com. Download the Public Square app. If you want to fight back against what's happening in this country and the trends we're seeing, download the app and then purchase through the app and use it as a tool. Michael, thanks so much. And make those short sellers wrong. Those savage short sellers are the worst. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. When the government used emergency edicts during COVID to restrict the gathering and worship of churches, three pastors facing the risk of imprisonment, unlimited fines, and their own churches being ripped apart took a courageous stand and reopened their doors in the face of a world that chose to comply. The Essential Church is a feature-length documentary that explores the struggle between the church and government throughout history. The story uncovers those who have sacrificed their lives throughout history for what they believe in. Rediscover why the church is essential and how we prove this stand remains true from a scientific, legal, and most importantly, a theological and biblical perspective. This is not your typical movie. It will change your life. You need to see this movie with your family and friends. The Essential Church is streaming today exclusively at salemnow.com. That's Essential Church Movie streaming at salemnow.com. That is salemnow.com. Check out the Essential Church Movie. It's terrific. So go to salemnow.com right now. So we're talking, you know, some people are emailing us and they're saying, hey, Charlie, how does this impact America? We're talking about Israel a lot. It impacts us a lot, okay? There's so many lessons from the college campus fight to the wokeism fight to sleeper cell, global day of jihad, open borders. There's so much stuff there. But we must acknowledge, and it's a hard thing to swallow, that we are an infiltrated country as well as infiltrated bureaucracies. Joining us now is Benjamin Weingarten. Ben, thank you so much for joining the program. We are an infiltrated country, and we really haven't talked much about Middle Eastern infiltration for a couple years, right? We've talked about Chinese Communist Party infiltration, woke infiltration, but this is a big thing. So walk our audience through the administrative state, the bureaucracies, the Biden regime, and how our universities are captured by radical Islamists.
Well, I think you can see this in the personified in Rob Malley, the State Department envoy to Iran, who has been sidelined, had his security clearances suspended, is under FBI investigation, allegedly for mishandling classified documentation, and appears by all accounts to have led, in effect, an Iranian spy ring from the highest levels of the national security and foreign policy apparatus, which has also implications for the Defense Department, because one of his apparent colleagues who he brought in serves as the chief of staff for the Pentagon's counterterrorism office. And Rob Malley, to me, personifies the Western globalist progressive elite who fundamentally hold a worldview. And you can see this, obviously, many links in this chain from here to the 1619 Project kind of perspective in the world, to the broader progressive view of the US as an imperialist, colonialist, occupying civilization responsible for all evil in the world. And so global social justice demands turning the world on its head, essentially affirmative action for those who would engage in the beheading of babies, the raping of women, hostage taking of the elderly, including Holocaust survivors. There's a consequence to that. And the consequence is that at the top of our lead institutions, from first the Obama-Biden administration and now to the Biden administration, to our elite college campuses, which have celebrating throngs for these barbarians in the very institutions that are supposed to represent the pinnacle of Western civilization, to our cultural influencers in Congress, like Ilhan Omar, for example, on the Squad. And I wrote the book on this that tried to raise the flag, the warning on this issue several years back, American ingrate Ilhan Omar and the progressive Islamist takeover of the Democrat Party, precisely because the consequences, they contribute to a world where they create the conditions, you know, as one former mayor in the U.S. talked about, for people to destroy. They create the conditions that aid, abet, and enable the likes of Iran's proxies and other adversaries around the world to grow ascendant, and for the West to imperil itself. And there are many manifestations of this. And as you note, one of them is on open borders, which essentially says that having borders is racist, that we have no right to defend our sovereignty. Everyone has a right to America. It doesn't matter if they hold anti-American views and want to fundamentally transform that society and do damage to its most fundamental institutions, which are, you know, descended from Judeo-Christian values and principles. And as a consequence, you have basically an Islamic supremacist veto over policy, or potential veto over policy in Europe, given massive immigration from Muslim majority countries with almost no vetting. And the same thing that's occurred in the US, although mercifully to a lesser degree, but still more than 2 million people have immigrated since 9/11, which was primarily viewed as an immigration failure from Muslim majority countries without sufficient vetting for Sharia supremacist ideology. And now we see the impact of that, the impacts of the influx of dollars from Qatar and Saudi government-related officials, individuals, and entities that contribute to Middle Eastern department studies departments on college campuses that fuel the kind of sick displays that we have seen. And that money has even more corruption when you count the impact on think tanks and these institutions more broadly. So we've imported, essentially, in many cases, our adversaries' ideology, and in some cases, the adversaries themselves. And you can see this in any number of prosecutions and foiled jihadist attacks, and I fear successful jihadist attacks to come in the West.
So talk about this red-green axis even more, about how the American left and the Islamists are co-sponsors in the destruction of the West.
Yeah, well, if you look back at the history, and I talk about this in large part in my book, you know, the quote-unquote anti-Zionist sentiment that pervades in the Islamic world was really seeded and fomented and fanned the flames of in large part by actually the Soviet Union going back to the 60s. And so if you look at the backgrounds of Mahmoud Abbas, for example, or Yasser Arafat, or even Saddam Hussein and others, there are myriad ties, deep, inextricable links to the Soviet Union. They took the Soviet kind of propaganda and also tactical training in terrorist tactics. And that was an import to the Middle East. The Jew hatred has been there for centuries. But the manner in which they have sought to advance their cause and actually align with progressives throughout the West is really something that was in large part fanned the flames of by the Soviet Union. Why is it that the left and the Islamists are allies? Well, essentially, they have a shared adversary, and that adversary is the Judeo-Christian West. You can see this manifest itself in just the fact that, as we've seen, our FBI today targets conservative, patriotic Americans, in many cases, U.S. veterans, as the premier domestic terrorist threat, while at the same time aiding, abetting, and enabling Iran and its proxies, Iran being the world's leading state sponsor of jihad. That, in a nutshell, summarizes it. Americans are the enemy to be targeted as purported domestic terrorists. Actual terrorists are to be aided, abetted, and enabled. And so the deep-seated aspect of this is shared adversary, ultimately shared desire to overturn our institutions. And they both have a totalitarian scope and drive and ideology to them. In the case of Islam, to make the world submit to a totalitarian Sharia law based ideology, which brooks no dissent, has speech codes, forces people who will not agree to either die or live as third class citizens. And in the West, we have, you know, something like a social credit system with American characteristics that's been developing over time. But it's a similar ideology of total power for whoever those who desire power is. In Islam, it is, you know, the theocrats. And in the West, it's our elites. So they make common cause, even though our elites live in their own lifestyles, lives that are completely anathema and antithetical to the Islamic supremacists, and that the Islamic supremacists would clearly abhor, but they are okay making common cause with them because they have a shared adversary, and ultimately that's the West.
So, Ben, are you starting to see some schism? I mean, we're seeing this with some Jewish donors that are saying they're pulling all their money from these universities because secular Jews and elite Jews have been, I think, turning a blind eye to the, let's just say, clandestine and subterranean Jew hatred and anti-West philosophy by pumping money into some of these institutions. And what is so important is this red-green axis is that they're at total odds at some fundamental values. I mean, the most obvious one, which is hilarious to isolate, is like the gay lobby and the Hamas. They're not exactly, they don't see the world the same way. Let's just put it that way. And so are you starting to see, because of this massacre and this butchery, some form of a response from decent-minded Jews, Westerners, of what these institutions have become?
Well, to your point, among Jews, sort of the less religious that you go, the more and more secular you are, the more, generally speaking, and speaking in high-level generalities here, but there is a view that essentially Judaism's principles are the principles of the left, and that there's an equivalence, a consonance or harmony between them. And so, you know, they associate leftism and Judaism, and there are political and historical aspects of this as well. And the more religious you get, the more conservative, politically conservative you get. I'm pleasantly surprised to see that you have seen prominent individuals in the academy, in the private sector, and beyond, influential, heavy hitters, voices that people listen to, who cannot turn away at the savagery and are aghast at what they, I think they realize now, they have supported in some instances, or they have ignored and been willfully blind to, and that it's unacceptable, and that the way you change institutions that become bastions of anti-civilizational, anti-Western Jew hatred and hatred of Judeo-Christian civilization is you defund those institutions, you pull out your support for those institutions publicly, and you make them change, and you use whatever tools you have with whatever skills you can bring to bear to change them. Now, I will caution, however, let's see what happens in the coming days as the world turns against Israel, as Israel does
that's
what it feels
right.
It must to defend its national interest.
Yes.
And beyond that, there's a generational issue here too. And the generational thing is that if you look, older Jews, including, you know, more liberal Jews and less religious Jews, still take a generally more pro-Western and, you know, in the past, it would have been kind of anti-communist and generally pro-Israel and broadly, again, pro-Western liberal, truly liberal position. But the younger generations of Jews, and Tablet's done some great work on this, are infinitely more progressive and I think infinitely more hardened in their beliefs. This may cause psychological shock to some of the useful idiots in this, but I'm curious to see, I'm pessimistic about, but let's see what happens in the days ahead when world opinion instantly turns and the elites go back and forget what happened in the news cycle, you know, a week later.
Ben, excellent work. And check out his book on Ilhan Omar. It's Ilhan the Ingrate, right?
Yeah, it's called American Ingrate, Ilhan Omar and Progressive Islamists Take Over the Democratic Party.
Yep. Ilhan Omar should be deported from the country and she never should have been let in. She is an ungrateful anti-American sleeper cell in the American Congress. Thank you so much, Ben. We appreciate it. Thank you. You know, we still don't have a speaker. We still don't have a speaker in the house. It might be Jim Jordan, everybody. Looks like there's some consolidating forces here, sources are telling us. That Jim Jordan is looking like the favorite. Steve Scalise is out of the picture. Kevin McCarthy is now backing Jim Jordan for speaker. So his block is looking like it's going towards Jordan. Matt Gaetz is backing Jim Jordan. This would be a big win, everybody. This would be a very good, this would be a good step. This would be a serious step in the right direction. We've just been so distracted with the Israel news, understandably. Forget we don't have a speaker. Let me tell you, they've got to get this sorted out. I give them till Monday before I start to really lose patience. Come on, guys. We got oversight hearings, running out of time. We got continuing resolution. We got a wide open border. Got Jack Smith, administrative state. You've had your fun. It's about almost 2 weeks. You got to sort it out. Start cutting deals. You can't get everything you want. Can't let this go on for a month, 2 months. Give me a break, okay? We have political power. Fine. You got rid of Kevin. Whatever. Forget somebody. Jim Jordan, he's the leader. Suck it up. Get it done. Get it done. And once you get it done, if it's Jim Jordan, then let's fulfill the mandate. Let's do 12 different continuing resolutions. Let's start pumping them out. No vacations, no weekends. Sorry, guys, you got to work weekends. No more fundraising tours. Jim Jordan is going to have to raise a bunch of money. I think he can. And honestly, good for Kevin McCarthy for getting behind Jim Jordan. And Kevin, I think, is going to work with Jim to raise capital so that we can keep the house. That's great. Kevin is a prolific fundraiser. He recruit candidates. Jim Jordan would be a massive win. It'd be terrific. And then we have the whole Ukraine situation. We have the stuff bubbling up in the Middle East and Israel. We got a lot going on. And we just don't have a speaker. I think that's my patience is waning. Let me put it that way. Like, enough, guys. Okay. Get behind Jim. He's obviously the front runner. Let's go. And it seems as if there's consolidation. My sources are telling me that it looks like Jim is going to squeak this one out. No guarantee, but it looks like we're going to squeak this one out. Now, by the way, when I mean by squeak one out, I mean like 217 votes, okay? And just remember, we have a 3 or 4 seat majority, okay? The only way you get this is by squeaking one out. And the Democrats are enjoying there not being a speaker. And look, let's just mark down the date. 6 months from now, 99% of Americans will forget that there was a motion to vacate in the speaker fight, okay? No one's going to remember this. They're just not, okay? If this continues into Christmas, they'll remember it. What they will remember is whether or not Republicans fought for spending cuts, a closed border, a reformed and deconstructed administrative state. That's what they will remember. So it's time to unite. Honestly, good for you, Steve Scalise, for stepping out. He said, look, health issues, don't have the votes, stepped out. And Jim Jordan's the guy, I think, that can unite the tribes. And you know what I love about Jim Jordan becoming speaker? Jim Jordan's plan was never to become speaker. I think that's really cool. I think it's refreshing to have someone to become speaker who did not make it their life's goal to become speaker. A reluctant leader. Almost like the Order of Cincinnatus that George Washington was from. Cincinnatus was a Roman general. I don't know if he was consul or not. Blake would know. In fact, the city of Cincinnati is named after Cincinnatus. Fought in the war and then went home to his farm. He was a dictator. Thank you. But dictator meant something different back then. Absolute power, and then he resigned it. Point is, servant leadership. George Washington was the closest thing to the Order of Cincinnatus. He was part of it. It was actually a club, a group called the Order of Cincinnatus. And he resigned, went back to his home, Mount Vernon. He's like, I'm done. Going back. Jim Jordan has that kind of vibe. But now, obviously, Jim Jordan wants the speakership because he's stepping up. He wants it for his country. He wants it for the right reasons. I think that's really cool. Nancy Pelosi has wanted power for power's sake. Jim Jordan did not want power for power's sake. You would have told Jim Jordan a year ago you're going to be Speaker of the House. He'd be like, what kind of mushrooms have you been eating? Is what Jim Jordan would say. A year ago, you tell Jim Jordan he's going to be Speaker of the House. He'd say, what are you kidding me? How about Emmer or Scalise, Kevin? So you're going to almost have someone who becomes Speaker by mistake, someone with humility and grit and hustle. That might be the breath of fresh air the Republican Party really needs in Congress. I am eager with anticipation. Get this done, cut a deal, and make Jim Jordan speaker. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.